Now we come to Psalm 17, and actually beginning with Psalm 16 and going through Psalm 24, we have another segment that belongs together. You know, in a songbook today, they'll have songs of praise together, songs of repentance, Christmas songs, and all the different songs put together in certain sections of a songbook. Well, that's what you have in this songbook. Now we come to this section that ends with the 24th, and in each of these nine psalms, we find Christ in prophecy. And we also see that faithful remnant, as we've seen here in the 16th psalm. And they're both, I think, blended together. And the greatest of this section will be the 22nd psalm. And we have a book on that, an X-ray of the cross. We offer that to those who support this program, and we hope that you will be sure and write in, and we'll have to ask for a gift for the program so we can send the book, an X-ray of the cross. Now, what we have here in this psalm is a prayer of David. And the question has always been, when was it written? It was a prayer that apparently came out of the wilderness experience that he had. That was when Saul and his men were almost upon him, almost took him. And this psalm here reveals the same trust in God that we had in the last one. And in the final analysis, we've said these psalms speak primarily of the Lord Jesus Christ. They also speak of the experience of David. And it can also be a prayer for us today, because many of us may find ourselves in a similar situation, that is, in a place of trial, anxiety, or of danger. Now, probably I should remind you again of a new series. These psalms come in series. And here we have, beginning with Psalm 16, that outstanding messianic psalm, and it goes all the way to the 24th psalm. And we find Christ in prophecy now. We find him in the Psalms. After all, it is a hymn book, and the hymn is spelt H-I-M. Now, will you notice as we get into the psalm, and it's a very wonderful one, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. This is, I think, a prayer of David primarily, who was in grave danger. And this is a prayer that comes from a man's heart when he is in grave danger. And at this time, he's going to say what he's really thinking, and he's going to tell it like it is. There'll be no, shall I use the common colloquialism, there'll be no put on here, or as the word is here, feigned lips. That is an insincerity, an hypocrisy. You can be sure of one thing, David is expressing his own thoughts here, and he makes that very clear at the beginning. He says, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. And that is, he's asking for justice from God, that the Lord will measure the thing rightly. And then in verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tested me and shall find nothing. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. And the very interesting thing is that when he tested David, he did find something. And when he tested me, he found something. I have a notion that when he tested you, he found something. But this now speaks of our Lord. Thou shalt find nothing. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. And many of us wish we had a zipper on our lips at time, and that we hadn't said such a thing at all. Here is the one that just didn't say something that was wrong, and they marvel at the words that our Lord Jesus gave. Now listen to him as he proceeds here in verse 4. Concerning the works of man, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the destroyer. And that path of the destroyer of course, is none other than Satan. And because of his presence in the world, that's the reason that God's child should be alert. David was. And today the child of God should be very much alert and aware that we're in enemy territory. David was in enemy territory, hiding from Saul. Well, we're in enemy territory. This is the bailiwick of Satan, by the way. In Pergamum, you remember the Lord Jesus said that was where Satan's throne was, and he commended the church. I don't know where you are today, but some of us think Satan's throne is very close to Los Angeles, by the way. But when he speaks here that his lips were undeceitful here in verse 1, it's a perfect picture of our perfect Lord, the Lord Jesus. Remember what Peter said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And it was said of him who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And therefore, he says here, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. He was willing for the Lord to balance things off, the things that are equal. Behold the things that are equal. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not asking for justice from God. I'm asking for mercy. I feel like I need mercy, and that's what most of us need today. Now, I wish I could dwell longer on the points in this psalm, but we must move down into it. And as we do, will you notice here, and I'll just read now. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tested me. Shall find nothing. I purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Verse 3, what a picture of our Lord. Verse 4, concerning the works of man, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the destroyer. In other words, he didn't fall into Satan's trap. We sometimes do. Verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. It's a real plea, you see, in prayer, a pleading prayer. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou who savest by thy right hand those who put their trust in thee, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. And you remember that expression on eagle's wings. We have a little book on that, that God said to Israel, you see what I've done to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What a picture you have where we are placed today in the shadow of thy wings. The Lord Jesus said to Jerusalem, how many times I'd have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her little chicks. Where? Under her wings. That's the picture here. Verse 9, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in their steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in his place. This is a very glorious picture that we have here. And he's crying out, you see, to God, I've called upon thee, back in verse 6, and thou wilt hear. I'd like to change that a little back there, because Delitzsch translates it like this, as such an one I call upon thee, thou hearest me. Knew that he was heard, and you remember again the Lord Jesus Christ. He identified himself with his own, and he was heard in that he cried out and called to God. We can always be sure, friends, as God's children, he does hear and answer our prayers when we're in trouble. Now, I want to drop on down just a little and conclude this section because we must move along today. And I begin reading at verse 13, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From man who art thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly thou fillest with thy hidden treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And here is this man hiding in a cave, David, and he calls out to God to deliver him, knows that he's going to deliver him, and knowing that someday he will be in his presence. And yet the enemy seems to be so strong and powerful. And today, you and I, as God's children, look out at a world that is against us. It's like the little boy. He was out in a vacant lot playing, and he was pulling at a big old weed that was growing there, and a man went by and stopped and watched him. And the little fellow would pull on one side and grunt and get on the other side and pull. And finally, with one great supreme effort, the little fellow pulled, and the roots of the weed gave way, and the little fellow just fell back with a bump. And he sat there just a little shocked for a moment. And the man looked at him and he says, "Son," says, "that was a mighty great pull that you gave there." And the little boy, he says, "It sure was." He says, "'cause the whole world is pulling against me." And my friends, that's the position of the child of God today. But we have a resource and a recourse of coming to God. And that's the way our Lord did when he was here upon this earth. And David, when he was in real danger. What a psalm to help those that are in trouble today, and especially your enemies that are in the world. And most of us, if we stand for God, we got enemies, my friends. We've got enemies just like a dog has fleas. They just seem to be part of the Christian's life.